Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. Well, it's so nice to actually say to our listeners, happy holidays. It's going to be a wonderful holiday season, and you all better be relaxing at one point. So what are you going to do for the holiday seasons? And joining us today, we're going to talk about some of the common holiday poisons and toxins that we have to be mindful of. And I can't think of a better person than our good friend, Dr. Renee Schmidt. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Thanks for being on. So listeners, Renee is the manager of veterinary medicine and professional services and senior veterinary toxicologist for Pet Poison Helpline, Safety Call International. She's been with the organization since 2013, during which time she's had the opportunity to lead the team of veterinarians that span across the country and contribute to veterinary outreach and daily operations of Pet Poison Helpline. So this is great. This is such a timely episode. And by the way, before we get into it, what are you going to do for the holidays? What are you doing?
Well, we're going to stay around with family, and I know the big thing on my list is to overeat and eat a bunch of chocolate.
Right. Well, so let's just talk about that one. That's kind of like the very common thing that we'll see about. Now, I remember, and I've sat in one of your lectures about this, and you talk so great about the different types of chocolate. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you bet. So chocolate isn't always just chocolate. So there's a lot of different types of chocolate. And the big concern is that theobromine, which is the toxic component that's in chocolate. And when we think about the concern with them, the darker the chocolate or kind of the less sweet the chocolate is, typically the more theobromine is in there. So baker's chocolate, semi-sweet chocolate, cocoa powder, those chocolates are going to have a lot more of a concern than your milk chocolates will.
Okay. Yeah. And do they show different clinical signs? Are they different than what you see, the different types of chocolate?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the clinical signs, once they reach those toxic levels, are typically the same. It's just the amount that they get into. So say for one of your little weenie dogs, they can probably eat a few Hershey milk chocolates, or Hershey Kisses. But if they were to get that same amount in a baker's chocolate, then that could be certainly more concerning. The lower doses, even if it's not going to cause any hyperexcitability or high heart rate and blood pressure issues, can definitely still cause some stomach upset and a risk for pancreatitis, regardless of the amount that they get into.
Right. It's always good to know to keep those chocolates high away, especially some of those counter surfer dogs that you get out there. My goodness, right? Oh, I hear it all the time. It just happened to my friend's dog last week. And she thought she put everything high and away. I said, not when you got a Labrador.
No, they can get into it all the time. And you can push it to the back of the counter, or you can put it, hide that present in the bottom and behind in that tree. And their noses are so good. They will seek it out every time.
Right. Yep. And, it is baking season, of course. A lot of us are making like oatmeal raisin cookies or using the crock pot with maybe some herbs and garlic or onions. So what are some things that we should be mindful of during the holidays with that?
Yeah, so onions and garlic are definitely toxic to dogs and cats. And we can see sometimes more issues with like the onion powders, garlic salt, those types of products, because they're so much more concentrated. And cats are definitely more sensitive than dogs are. And so there's definitely kind of a toxic dose that we calculate to see if it's going to be a problem. The one that I can remember the most is a dog that got into an onion powder from Costco, a large size of that, and ingested a large amount and really became very critically ill from that. And that's where we can really start to see that problem, is when they get into a large amount of those. Once you've mixed it in with the meal, a lot of times it's not as big of a concern because it's somewhat diluted out, but definitely a big concern for those guys.
And what about the other ones like nutmeg or even walnuts and things like that? Are those okay?
Yeah. So nutmeg probably isn't a huge issue in most situations. We haven't really had a lot of dogs who get into a large amount of nutmeg to cause a big concern. The walnuts are really an issue if they are moldy. So if it is normal walnuts from the bag, you're mixing it in with a batch of cookies or something like that, not going to be a big issue. Definitely any of those nuts can cause some pretty significant stomach upset issues if they get into a large amount.
Okay. So yeah, there's definitely quite a few foods out there that we have to be careful of. So we do a lot of baking, we do a lot of decorating too. So what are some things that we have to be mindful of, especially with our cat parents?
Yeah. So decorating, we've got several things. So if you're in a household that has some young children and they like to make their own Christmas ornaments, or if you're an adult who likes to make your own Christmas ornaments too, but I know our kids always brought home some homemade ornaments that were made out of the salt dough. Those really have a large amount of salt in them. And you can see salt poisoning developing from that, which causes neurologic signs, potentially seizures developing. And that's a big concern. Our cats, really, they love tinsel. They love to eat and chew on those stringy tinsels. And some of those can actually have zinc in them. And so you can get zinc poisoning if they ingest any amount of tinsel. And then having a new kitten in our home, we're realizing or remembering how much they like to chew on the cords of the Christmas lights. And so while that's not really a poisoning concern, definitely a potential concern for causing electrocution or burns to the mouth and potentially some slipping of the tongue.
Yeah, definitely. Now, what are your thoughts about if you have a real tree in the house with the water that's at the base of that?
Usually not a big issue. So sometimes they'll have that food, that tree food or tree supplement that'll be in there, maybe some stomach upset. Fortunately, not going to be a big issue.
Okay. That's good to know. Cause I always hear like, yes, it could be, you know, whatever toxic, but I just think like GI signs are typical things that can happen. Right.
Yeah. You got it.
And what about the tree itself? There's anything on the tree? If you have a real tree, like the pine needles or the pine cones or any of those things that we have to worry about?
Usually with those types of things, the sap that's in there, maybe cause some GI issues, maybe some oral or mouth irritation. Not typically a big deal. I think most of the time it either doesn't taste well or it's just irritating to the mouth because of the prickliness of that tree. So not something that we really get too concerned about if you see your dog or your cat nibbling on that.
Right. And I see so many TikTok videos that are already happening of trees falling because cats are jumping into these trees. They're like, oh my God, this is amazing. Look what I could do, mom. Look what I could do, dad. You see these trees falling down. So what would be a recommendation that you would recommend for that?
Oh gosh. You know, tying the tree to the, you know, if you have some access or if you have it up against a corner or something like that, you can kind of put some hooks in the wall where you can secure it a little bit more to tie the tree.
Sure.
That's definitely something that can be helpful. If you have a pet that has, it doesn't really help so much for the cats, but those hidden fence, those invisible fences, you can buy little discs that you can put around the tree to at least keep the dog out of it a little bit. And sometimes trying to stack up enough, maybe some gifts or presents so they don't have access to that bottom portion of the tree to climb into the middle of it. But it's definitely a popular game for the cats this time of year.
Oh yeah, right. They love it. So speaking of in the plant family, so we talk about the trees. So give me an update on what we know about with poinsettias or mistletoe or any other Christmas and holiday plants out there.
Yeah, so poinsettias, I tell you, they always get the bad rap this time of year. And really they're just gonna cause stomach upset. They contain some chemicals that are called saponins, and they really just cause stomach issues. So maybe some vomiting or some loose stool, maybe some mouth irritation can occur depending on how much they get into, but really not going to be a big issue. I wouldn't hesitate to have poinsettias in my house with dogs and cats in the household. If your pet has a more sensitive stomach and they're getting into it, you might want to be a little bit more cautious with that just to avoid more stomach upset. I think the biggest concern is usually going to be those lilies. There's a lot of true renal toxic or kidney toxic lilies. So oriental lilies, Asiatic lilies, those types of lilies that are fairly common to see in like a Christmas bouquet that you might have some issues with. Those can cause kidney failure in cats. Mistletoe, ivy, those types of products, usually not a big deal. One of the things that we do see, though, is that there are some places that when they're making wreaths, instead of using evergreens, they're using yew plants. And so yews are something that can cause some pretty significant issues in dogs and cats and some cardiac or heart issues. So something to kind of be aware of if you are getting a wreath from a local area.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that. So see, I'm always learning from you. I love this. And, you know, we love to entertain during the holidays. So with entertaining comes a little bit of alcohol. And then also a lot of the kids like candy too, of course. So like, you know, the sugar-free gums and so forth. So talk to our listeners about that.
Yeah. So alcohol poisoning is definitely something that your dogs and cats can have an issue with. And knowing that they're smaller than humans are, and they also don't process alcohol as well, that just a small amount can be problematic. Certainly, depending on the type of alcohol or the percent alcohol can make a difference. So beers with lower percent alcohols versus hard liquors like whiskeys or vodkas, those are going to be your bigger concerns. Certainly encouraging your guests not to set their drink down on that coffee table or that end table where the animal can get to it and have a couple of laps can definitely be problematic for these guys. And when we talk about sugar-free gums and candies, a lot of them will contain xylitol. It starts with an XYL, so it's not with a Z. And definitely something that we can see a low blood sugar developing in dogs, as well as potential liver failure, depending on how much they get into. And so always wanting to keep those out of reach of your pets.
Yeah, excellent. Yep, good to know, especially with kids and the candy and all that. They like to give the dogs and cats a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So
yeah, and when you have that in your stockings on Christmas Eve, yep, and Christmas morning, make sure that your pet doesn't have access to that for sure.
Yep, good call out for that. Absolutely. So talk to the veterinarians that are listening too. So what does that journey look like? A dog or cat gets into something. They call the veterinary hospital to speak to the receptionist. What do you tell the pet parent? And then what does that like journey look like to the veterinarian?
Yeah, so we try to make it kind of as smooth of a process as possible. What we like to find out from the pet parent is what it is they got into. And sometimes that is an easier question than it is to answer. And sometimes the animal's just not acting right. And so then we have to really hunt through and say, okay, well, what's in your household? Is there medications or is there xylitol? Or were you baking recently? Did they get into something like that? And so we really try to find out what it is specifically that they got into. And then we decide or we determine based on the pet's information, what type of animal they are, what their size is, and what it is they got into to decide, is it going to be an issue or not? The big comment is always the dose makes the poison. And so just because they get into something that is toxic doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be problematic if they didn't get into enough to be an issue. And then once we've kind of made that determination with the pet parent, if they do need to go into the veterinary clinic, we'll talk with that veterinary clinic and advise them and guide them through the treatment process. We'll let them know what clinical signs we expect to see or they should watch for. We talk with them about what type of decontamination is safe. So do we induce vomiting in these guys? Do we give them activated charcoal? Do we do IV fluids? And then what medications are going to be most recommended in case they do develop clinical signs?
Okay, excellent. And in your experience, when you have pet parents that are calling, how many of them do not have a veterinarian? Do you have to help them identify a veterinary hospital?
Yeah, you know, surprisingly, a lot of people don't. So they maybe had a veterinarian at the early stages of their pets, you know, as a puppy or a kitten, and to get their vaccinations and to maybe be spayed or neutered. And then as time went on, they've had healthy animals and they just really haven't thought to take them in to have annual exams. And so we do try to help them to an extent. We are a nationwide service. And so we will try to help guide them through, you know, finding, okay, what's in your area, or these are some clinics to call. Sometimes they'll have a veterinarian, but it'll be an evening or weekend where their clinics are closed. So we always encourage them to call the clinic that is in their area, listen to that machine to help get guidance as far as where the nearest emergency center might be for them.
Excellent. Wonderful. Well, this has been so great. Now that we have all these toxins, let's celebrate the holiday.
That's right. Let's do it.
Right, let's do it. Well, excuse me, Dr. Schmidt, where can we learn more about Pet Poison Helpline?
You bet. So find us on the website, www.petpoisonhelpline.com. We have a large list of different poisons. If you have a concern that your pet may have gotten into something, or you're just curious if your animal could have a concern with it, you can certainly look that up there. We also have a lot of information for veterinarians that are available. We have webinars on toxicology subjects, and just a lot of things to help a pet parents as well as veterinary clinics be more educated on toxicology.
Absolutely. And also to the listeners, Dr. Schmidt is a frequent contributor to the DVM 360 publication. So we have articles. She's also present at our live events. So make sure you check out our Fetch conferences and ACVC, where you can check her out as well as her team. She's going to be doing quite a bit of collaboration with other colleagues in 2023, which is awesome. So thank you so much for all you do, Dr. Schmidt. This is fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Have a wonderful holiday season out there. Please stay safe with you and your fur babies. And we'll chat next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.